Happy birthday, Anna. Ah, she left. Good evening, everyone. It's wonderful to see everyone. Welcome back to our new night, our new evening sitting and talk. Welcome back after the summer, which was, we had a long break. I guess it's been about 2 months since we were last gathered like this, although the morning sitting has continued as usual. And I'm happy to be back. It's been very hot here in Paris. I think it's been hot for many of you wherever you are. And during the depth of the heat, and also when I was in the south of France in August, it was extremely hot, hotter than this. And this quote from Alan Watts kept coming back to me, which seems like it wouldn't have anything to do with it, but it really helped me a lot. The quote is, "Stay in the center, and you will be ready to move in any direction." So it seems kind of odd that stay in the center, and you will be able to move in, ready to move in any direction. And what the how it applied for me to the heat, but how it can apply to many other different, to all moments of our life, how it helped me with the heat was to stay in the center was to not try to be anywhere else, not try to have anything else, not seek to stop the heat, to make it rain, go away, to indulge in the suffering that the heat, because it was difficult to sleep sometimes because of the heat. And then if I stayed in the center, then it was possible to just be there. As long as I was not trying to be anywhere else, it was okay to just be there. And it helped me to then understand to limit my activities when it's really hot, to close up the house, as you in Portugal, you all know this very well, you know. Close all of the shutters, close the curtains, the windows, don't let the hot air in. And then when it cools down outside in the evening, well, then you can open everything up again. But keeping in mind the staying in the center helped me then. Drink a lot of water, don't do much activity, eat certain foods and don't eat other foods. Cold showers, whatever. I mean, this is just an example of when it's really hot. And the depth of that quote, the more I stayed with it, stay in the center. I know this already, right? When we sit in our sitting practice, that's what we're doing. Coming back to the center, coming back to the center. Even though we find our mind going off in other directions, our intention is to come back to the center, come back to here. Then you will be ready to move in any direction freely. But moving in every direction is not what it sounds like. It means to be, because the center is moving all the time. Like we say, the moment is moving all the time. So we have to just stay in the moment, which moves all the time, which means we have to be able to move all the time. But if we're not staying in the center, then we're not able to move. So, or if I had to go back to the being in the heat, if I had a fixed idea about what I wanted to do that day, and I did have a lot of fixed ideas. I had planned a trip in the South, planning to go hiking every day, these long, beautiful hikes. Well, it was too hot. No way could was that possible. So we had to let go of that. And then something else, and something else, and something else. Do a hike when it was not so hot later in the day. But the depth of this quote is really that finding what is the center. So what is, when you say, stay in the center, what is the center? Sometimes we say our true self, sometimes we say mu, sometimes we say our true nature, ordinary mind. We have all these different phrases that we use. The very basic notion, though, is, and the very basis of the whole thing, is the selflessness, the non-self. The center, the nature of the center is no self. It's not someone. All of that, that someone, the ideas, the opinions, the desires, the emotions, possessions, all of that is added on to the center, which is without self. And this, you know, the applications of this are amazing. Today is September 11th. And we all know what happened 23 years ago, 22 years ago today, right? And probably many of us even remember where we were when we heard about the 9/11 attacks, right? And so if we look at the origins of that situation, it's a chain reaction in a sense. You look at it really basically. All of what occurred that day was a reaction, a karmic chain reaction of causes and effects. Going back, and we can't even get our head around all of those things that occurred so that those airplanes crashed into those towers in New York, or even the existence of those towers. We can go back to the existence of those airplanes. I mean, it's just unfathomable, the karmic links that arise when you think of an incident. But the fact of driving airplanes into buildings arises from a moving away from the center. And the fact of oppressing people and occupying territories and causing wars in foreign lands, or even at home, arises from not, from moving from the center. From what we call separation. So you can see it on this big major scale of world global political events. But you can also see how it applies to your own self when you're sitting in the heat and you just want to just be cold. We can see it in how then my family in the U.S., you know, they hear how hot it is here and they don't understand why we don't have air conditioning. And, you know, I kind of say, well, I probably could go out and buy an air conditioner if I wanted to. But that's just further causing problems. You know, that part of the reason we're in this situation is because we have entire nations filled with air conditioners. So the consequences are just, there's chain reactions, karmic links in 10 directions. But if we stay in the center, I can't change the fact that it's hot, but I can change how I respond to that heat and how I experience it. And that's the same for all of every moment of our life. Same thing. Stay in the center and you'll be ready to move in all the directions. It doesn't say you can move in every direction, but it says you are ready to, you're prepared to then respond. Moving in every direction means responding to whatever arises. It's usually how we formulate it. It's not so much, why is this happening to me? You know, like, why did I get COVID? Or why is it so hot? Why am I suffering? Why on my vacation is it hot? It's how do I respond to that? This is what is. How do I respond? I also thought of this quote when I saw the movie Oppenheimer. Some of you have maybe seen that film about the father of the atomic bomb, right? Really, really deep movie, actually. But and there's the famous, this is also famous, that Oppenheimer quotes, takes a quote from the Bhagavad Gita when witnessing the test bomb that they create. They do a test of the atomic bomb before the Americans actually dropped an atomic bomb into the test in the desert. And these scientists had been working on it forever. And when he sees the bomb going off, he sees quotes from this, you know, ancient Buddhist Hindu text. Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds. And this is a really, there's been a lot of, now it's become popular because of the movie. But even before the movie, it was known that he had said that. And a lot of questioning and discussions about why he said that and what it meant. And he was a deeply spiritual person and he could read Sanskrit. This is true. And he had read the Bhagavad Gita, among other texts. And what they don't say is that in the film, for example, I don't know how many of you have actually seen it, but they don't, you know, they don't really give the context of the quote. It's clear that it comes from this book, the sacred Hindu text, the Bhagavad Gita, but what that means in the text of the Bhagavad Gita, it doesn't say. And the situation is that there's a, the whole text is something about this warrior Arjuna, who was supposed to be called upon to fight a great battle or something, and doesn't know what to do. He doesn't want to kill. He doesn't know what to do. And so he calls upon his cousin, who is Vishnu. Vishnu is this great divine being who reveals himself to be a divine being, but it's the cousin of Arjuna. And he explains to Arjuna that because he is a warrior, he's a soldier by trade, he must fulfill his role as a soldier. A prince must fulfill his role as a prince, not the role of a soldier. So the prince must rule the land and whatever he does, and the soldier must fight the battles. And he makes it clear that staying in the center to a certain, I mean, we can interpret it this way, that each of us, each being acts according to its being, right? To its true nature or something like that. And Arjuna doesn't really understand it. And so asks him again. And so Vishnu then embodies, you know, like it says something like, you know, the multitude of his beings or something. Multitude, no longer one, right? Multitudinous, right? And it's this monstrous thing, you know? And says to him this quote at that moment, "Now I am become death, the destroyer of worlds." And in the text, Arjuna apparently understands, gets it. But no one really talks about what that really means, that quote, and why it was meaningful for Oppenheimer, apart from the you know, destroyer of worlds. Now I have this great power and I'm the destroyer of worlds, is how it's usually interpreted. But if we see that in a moving from the center, or, and this is where this multitudinous thing that Vishnu does, the atomic bomb comes about by splitting the atom. And then there's a chain reaction, you know, that they call nuclear fission, chain reactions of atoms being separated, of being split. It creates this just, you know, massive explosion. So as, you know, I find this fascinating that the atomic bomb results from separation, from separating the smallest conceivable particle of our existence at its very nucleus, creates just this huge destruction. Moving from the center, not staying in the center, creates this just this chain reaction of destruction. And the destroyer of worlds, then, you know. I like to think that Oppenheimer understood this, and that's what he was saying with this. Whatever. He did say this. It's fact. He later in life said this as well. And his position, you know, when people said to him, they say this, it's the scene in the movie where they say, you know, this debate about whether they should do it or not. And Oppenheimer knows very well that all of the science is shared. Scientists don't know borders. So they're all doing the same thing. And if the Americans don't have the bomb, well, the Germans will soon have it. And the Russians, maybe they all do. And so, you know, it's all of this. And so someone asks Oppenheimer, but do you think that our government can be trusted with it? And he said, I don't know, but I'm sure that the Nazis can't be trusted. And his basic premise was always that, as with Arjuna, who was staying in this, supposed to stay in the center of being a warrior, he encouraged scientists to stay in the center of being a scientist. And it was not their work then to decide what the government should do with it. He was hoping and trusting that the government would know what to do with it. As we see, maybe they didn't, but that's not the point of my talking today. It's to come back to this notion of staying in the center. Stay in the center of who we are, where we are, what the circumstances are. You know, even there's even a koan that someone asks, Master, how can I transcend heat and cold? And the master says, when it's hot, kill yourself with heat, and when it's cold, kill yourself with cold. Meaning just no separation from the heat, no separation from the cold. So in this really heat wave that we've been having here in France, and I guess you have in Portugal too, just be hot. And then do whatever needs to be done to make that, to be able to experience that without trying to make it go away, without trying to take away the heat. Just be present to the heat and then react accordingly, respond. What needs to be done? You know, take a fan, drink water, cold showers, whatever it needs to be. Because when we start splitting away from that, then it's like splitting the atom. And then there's a chain reaction. And that chain reaction then brings maybe not great destruction, but suffering, greater suffering. We enhance the suffering when we move away from the center. So, it also helps with just functioning in daily life, because then when we're called upon to do something in our work, in our family, with our friends, when we're out shopping or whatever we're doing during the day, if we just stay present to whatever it is, so when I need to water the plants, I just water the plants. Or when I need to cook the food, I cook food. When I need to sleep, I sleep. Or I try to sleep. Maybe it doesn't always work, but I just really do. Monday night, it's this time, I come. You stay this time. Okay. So it's been a probably a month or so of trying to stay in the center, or being aware of that since I read this book. Not trying to move ahead or back or away. And then just being here with you now. No, actually, on one hand, I think I would really like to have had a circle so we could hear what everyone has to say and how they are and what they've done. But there's a lot of us might not have had time, so I will open up now, and whoever would like to say something, comment, question, share whatever you want. It'd be great to hear from you.
Good evening, everyone. Just to come back to that point you were making of responding, it's actually very basic, very simple, responding. Die with the When it's hot, you die with the heat. When it's cold, you die with the cold. And you respond. I came back to something that was mentioned this summer in the session. Something Lisa said, this expression, this thing about the showing up, which caused some. Apparently, it had been around lately. Quite regularly, this thing about showing up. To my ears, that's the same thing. That's what we are talking about. Well, I don't know. I don't remember anymore what was the context when Lisa mentioned that. But to my ears, to my heart, to my mind, that's the same thing. It's this showing up. You just show up. It might sound something else. It might sound something done not well, I don't know what not, but responding. That's how it sounds to me. Just show up. You just show up. It's Monday. It's Monday, 8 o'clock Paris time. You show up. We show up.
Yeah, and maybe we could say that.
Thousand more examples. Millions.
Well, yeah, and maybe we could say that when he says stay in the center and you will be ready to move in every direction, we could say stay in the center and you will be ready to show up.
You show up. Yeah. That's how I hear it. That's how I feel it. Yes. Thank you.
Or maybe Lisa has some other, since you referred to her saying it, maybe she has some other interpretation. I don't know.
Well, as I'm being talked about. No, I think that's probably what I meant. We discussed it later with Roshi, and by showing up, yeah, what I was meaning is just being here, and this is what this is about. So you've got a point. this is just it. So as I'm my mic is on. Well, just happy to be here. Seems like the retreat was so long ago. But it's very strong, deep memories, very strong, deep feelings about it. And I hope the farm is well, Thiago. it was such an amazing place. And we missed you all, so that was also an amazing moment. But yeah, otherwise, I like that, staying with the heat. That's all we could do these past days anyway. It was just, we were heat. We couldn't be anything else. We couldn't even fight it off or anything. It was just so strong. So well, that's it. Thank you.
Hi, Merlin.
Good evening, everyone. Yes, I saw the photos, the pictures you sent to WhatsApp. It was an amazing place. Not good for me to have missed it. And I know you are very strong with this summer retreat here. About what you were saying, Amy Roshi, about this multitude and in this case Arjuna, he has to be a soldier and he didn't know what to do. I'm sure all of you, we have been in a place that we have to be some kind of something that we never thought we would be it was possible for us to be, and yet it was the moment to be this thing. And I have this I can tell you, I am thinking in this last period of my life, I have this ceiling problem in the house, and I have to do so many work with my neighbors, and in order to bring the question and in order to fix it. And I never thought I would be able to be the soldier. But what I have to ask you and all of you is, when we have to do something and we are a kind of, there is a pressure for us to do it, and we are at the center of, we are the core of the problem, and we know we are the core of the answer to the problem. You know, it's through me that the things are to be set up and could be done too. And it was because I was really worried. But the thing is that when it lasts and goes 1 year, 2 years, 3 years, to be a soldier for someone that knows that I have to be it, a soldier, but I am not a soldier because I know I am not a soldier. And I thought my life almost stopped, and I felt really stuck in the problem, you know? It has to be done, but it has to be done every day. And every day I almost felt the time that was passing through, and that I didn't do anything else except to be aware that time was passing through and nothing has been done. Except I believed and I trusted the process that it would come a time that the things would be fixed. And it was really difficult for me to be there in those times where I was at the center of nothing, really nothing happening, except the trust that, something has to be done. I am doing it, but it is too many time. It's too many time. I was not responding to other parts of my life, and I know it, because not because I was worried. I could, things won't be done because of my worries, but just to be aware of, there is time, and time will come too. Things probably would be, something would happen, and this is, it's kind of be a soldier. It reminds me, how long will this, it's not a comparative thing, I know, how long will this war in Ukraine, it's not the same, I know, not even the same, but it's about the time. We are doing the things we have to, supposed to be done, we are at the core of it, but we know, oh, it's too much time in the kind of not very healthy place, and we have to be there time and time and time and time, and at the same time, you know, life is passing through other parts of the life, and we are not living it. I was not. What to do?
So yeah, I'm quite, there's a couple of things that I feel that I hear. So time is, you know, it's a measure,
yeah,
that is created by the mind, because experientially, time is the moment has no time. It's just this right now, and even now is a concept that we've created to help us structure things. You know, it's a mental construct all the time. And we get caught by it. And then we start projecting and we say, well, it should take this much time. Or, you know, it's even like, okay, so in 20 minutes, she will finally stop talking and I can go do whatever I want, you know, or something. Or this has been, you know, we've been sitting here for an hour and I could be doing something else or something. As soon as we start focusing on these structures of separating, containing, structuring, then we start moving away from the center. And we start moving away from just right here now. Because, of course, the work that this, I know the whole process you've been through with this whole thing. And it's, you know, it's exhausting. It's true. So then in that case, we can see maybe what is contributing to that exhaustion and see if part of that exhaustion is moving away from the center. Also, just recognize the exhaustion and not try to make the exhaustion anything else. Because by resisting the exhaustion, we make ourselves even more tired. By not wanting to be the one in charge of the project, we then make that being in charge of the project much more difficult. Of course, in your case, it's like, you know, moving between Lisbon and your mother's house and going back and forth and cars and your daughter's living in a, you know, a collapsed apartment. And, you know, there's a lot of stuff that's going on. But, however, if we stay in the center, if we can stay in the center, that doesn't mean that it will all be happy and smooth and finished. But it does then change how we experience all of the circumstances that are arising and that are making you suffer. We add suffering onto that suffering by wanting it to be different, by resisting, by thinking in terms of time, when will this end? Or with the war in Ukraine. I'm sure even the people in Morocco in the earthquake, you know, it's very hard to stay in the center when your center has been completely ripped apart and crushed. You know, it's really hard to stay in the center. Can we stay in the center of our world being crushed? Well, that's a big challenge. I can't say because I'm not there. But my world can be crushed in other ways, like yours, you know, it's being really disrupted. Can we stay in the center even amid that? Then we're ready to move wherever we need to move, which is really what you've done with this whole situation, Marlon. I mean, you've done what you needed to do. You responded to it because you did what you needed to do. It didn't go like you thought it would or like you wanted it to. You had to miss retreats because of it. You know, there's a lot of consequences that came from it. And yet, you've done what you need to do.
Yeah, but it's like this this theory. The theory of well, I won't bring the Oppenheimer simultaneity, but it's like my whole life has become this one. You know, it's only this. My whole life, it's only this because there was no time, there was no linear. This concept, it disappeared, and I was in this bubble. This world of, I would like this, this has to be done, this has to be done, this has to be done, because I'm trusting the process, it has to be done, but it was one day, another day, another day. It's the life itself that was kind of stuck in the process itself. Yeah, but it's gone. Now it's gone.
When you know, so I always think of this thing that the great poet Zen teacher Gary Snyder, when a young Zen student wrote to him from a Japanese monastery where he was staying temporarily. And he had taken this vow of chastity. So he wrote to Gary Snyder, and Gary Snyder had done the same thing, but then came out and got married and had children and whatever. And Gary wrote back to him and said, appreciate it now because it won't last. So appreciate this being celibate, being, you know, just a monk now because it won't last. So appreciate whatever is right now because it won't last. It won't. If you want it to last, it won't. If you don't want it to last, it won't. It won't last. Everything changes, which, again, that's the good news and the bad news, right? Because when we want stuff to stay, it won't. And we want it to, when we want it go it to go away, it won't go away either. So, but it will. It changes. It will change. Everything will change. Everything does change. And if we stay in the center, then we can just be with whatever it is. And then we gain this experience of, oh yeah, okay. I was just here with that, but it's not that anymore. So now I have to be with something else. So now, like you say, your whole process is finished, but now there's something else. You know, there'll be something else, whether good or bad, you know. So it's really hot, but tomorrow it's going to cool off. And then we'll all be saying, oh, it's cold, it's rainy, and I wish it was sunny and warm. But it'll change. The whole climate is changing, as we know, climate change, right? So everything's changing all the time. Ready.
You're talking about the center. And I remember Thich Nhat Hanh, he said, we are like trees. When a tree, when the wind is blowing very hard, we think that the tree is fragile. But because the tree has roots, it doesn't break. And he said, when we sit and we breathe and we are right now, we are like the tree with its roots. So we are less fragile than we think if we go back to the moment, to the instant, to the now. That's what said about the center.
Yes, and that reminds me of one of our koans, which is, you know, be an immovable tree in a great storm, right? Because the tree has roots, as you say, to follow on with what Thich Nhat Hanh said, the tree goes with the wind. If it resists, it wouldn't, because its nature is to stay in the center and therefore be ready to go in any direction. Goes with the wind. If it didn't, it would snap and fall.
And I will just add a last quote of Thich Nhat Hanh. It's one of his poems. He said, when the wind blows, when the wind blows, the bamboo dance, the bamboo dances. When the wind stops to blow, the bamboo grows in silence.
Again, same thing. Or, you know, the Bible too, you know, to every season. You know, it was a season for everything. It was a moment for everything. Well, that's a nice image, though, the bamboo dancing in the wind and entering the silence or whatever. Yeah. Debbie?
Yeah, it's first of all, it's wonderful to see you all. I miss you when we're not together. It's interesting, this whole business about the center, because as I said in the beginning, I had a very quick, very nasty re-encounter with COVID 2 weeks ago. And I do not like to be sick. Not as if you guys really loved it, but I really don't want to be sick, because my whole identity, not my whole identity, but a big, strong part of my identity is that I'm not sick. It was a family problem. In my family, you have two possibilities. You're in good health or die, because we don't get sick in the Thomas family. So I didn't want to have COVID. It was 2 days of very high fever. It was already hot enough as it was. But it wasn't that. It was, I don't want to be perceived as a sick person. So I decided pretty quickly on, because also I was kind of scared. You know, I don't know about y'all, but an adult fever, I have a fever. The last time I had COVID, I haven't ever had a fever in my adult life, I don't think. It's very, c'est impressionnant. I mean, you feel really, really sick. So I decided in the middle of that, where I didn't know, should I tell somebody about this or just try to rest, to stop the second part. The fever was the fever, but the other part was not being able to be centered, was very much trying to re-situate myself as a sick person or not a sick person. This whole mental garbage about who I was at that point. I was kind of in some dirty old nightgown under my sheets, or in just suffering. But my whole head trip, I realized quickly on, unless I was going to really freak myself out, and I did not want to go to a hospital, that I had to stop being all tied up in this "who am I when I'm sick" thing. It was just making it much worse. And actually, once I stopped doing that, I'm not saying that that was the reason, but the opposite would have been true, very possibly. Once I stopped doing that, the fever broke, first of all. And then after that, you know, it's COVID, you got tired. And since then, I've had other opportunities where this comes up of, am I allowed to be tired? Am I allowed to just sit around and read? Am I still the same person if I'm not doing anything, basically? So this business about, yeah, just stick with states, just don't freak out. It's hot, you have a fever, but, and it's just, I don't have another expression that says it as well. Stay centered in what's happening rather than the whole mind trip of, am I going to die of COVID? Or am I gonna, is this gonna go on and on? All the things that, and also, I think I talked to you, Amy, about this the last time I had COVID. Is there a connection between having a fever and being really angry? Because it happened again. The other time I had COVID, the higher the fever, the more I ranted. I was mad at somebody at the time. And I just, for hours on end, I said, yes, but she's a jerk and I should tell her this. Fortunately, I didn't act on any of this. But it started up a little bit this time too. Oh, I'll send a message. I'll tell them. And then, but this time was the second time. All of a sudden I thought, no, 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 you're not that mad. It's just the heat of the whole operation. But there was definitely a connection for me between fever and being really irate about nothing, basically. So it was interesting to see the, I mean, there's COVID, and then there's, for me, a whole book about whether or not being sick and being allowed to be sick, and then are you allowed to rest and everything. So this really hit the spot, idea of just, it's hot, it's hot. If you're sick, you're sick.
Exactly. Yeah. Great example. And I think we can all look and see when we do that. We're not always aware that that's what we're doing. But if we really look into it, we'll, like Debbie, you know, we'll see, oh, wait a minute, what is this? Yeah. And it's really, you know, it's like Vishnu, you know, I become death, the destroyer of worlds. I just like, you know, so suffering in all the directions when I'm doing that, you know, when I'm identifying, splitting, moving away, piling a head on top of my head, as we say sometimes. Good example. So yeah, it's really is. Sounds really simple and basic, but as we know, it's not easy. But that's what our practice is. And that's where we, when we say, you know, to bear witness to the joys and suffering of the world, because it's not only the joys that become, it's not only the suffering that we witness. We open to joy when we open to suffering and just be present with it instead of trying to push it away or something. Okay, I think we'll stop there then for tonight. We'll say the vows.